In the teaching known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the following challenge, be perfect. We know that there's a lot more to this teaching, which David Johnson will share with us today on this Words of Life program. We are presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who use our prayers and contributions to tell about Jesus, the Christ. We're thankful that you are listening. First, we share worship of our Lord in song.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. Be tinted skies with heavenly hue and frame the worlds with his great might.
There is a God. never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time of envy wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight?
Lord, in the United States and some other countries, we pause to remember and honor those who gave their lives in military service. Even more importantly, we remember Jesus, who deliberately gave his life for our salvation. We thank you for this great blessing of eternal life with him. Please use this broadcast to help listeners grow closer to you. We also seek your help to bless each of our listeners with good health and your peace. And thank you for listening to us today. Help us to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at his appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Using Bible passage Matthew 5:43-48, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, Be Perfect.
Thank you. As we look into the Word of God together, and as we benefit from the privilege of being able to share in the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Be Perfect. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5:43-48. Please listen to the Word of God, the words of Jesus. Quote, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus Christ had many hard teachings in his Sermon on the Mount. In our passage, Matthew 5:43-48, Jesus illustrated graphically the false righteousness of mankind versus the genuine righteousness of God. We should understand that Jesus, the one and only Son of God, would never reduce God's moral standard to man's standard. Therefore, Jesus Christ affirmed, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Here we have the most powerful divine teaching in all of Scripture regarding the meaning of sacrificial love. This is certainly not man's standard toward enemies. Surely, love your enemies, when Jesus stated this in the first century AD, must have been received as naive and foolish in the extreme, as it does today, about 2,000 years later. Naive and foolish, love your enemies. This hasn't changed because mankind continues to reject God's standard of sacrificial love. Most people not only feel they have the right, but even the duty to hate their enemies, to hate corrupt leaders such as a Hitler or a Stalin, to hate murderers, to hate drug dealers. However, Jesus Christ was saying, in effect, by his own authority, "But I tell you, love your enemies." That mankind has perverted God's moral standard to love, not to hate. And yet God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It's not that we cannot understand God's standard of love. It's that we refuse to practice it. The Apostle John learned to practice God's type love as he matured in love. Consider 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. A Bible scholar, R.C.H. Lenski, writes of a Christian who is mature in sacrificial, that is, agape love, that is, seeks and works to meet another's highest welfare. Quote, "Love indeed sees all the hatefulness and the wickedness of the enemy, feels his stabs and his blows, may even have something to do toward warding them off. But all this simply fills the loving heart with the one desire and aim: to free its enemy from his hate, to rescue him from his sin, and thus to save his soul. Mere affection is often blind, but even then it thinks that it sees something attractive in the one toward whom it goes out. The higher love may see nothing attractive in the one so loved. Its inner motive is simply to bestow true blessing on the one loved, to do him the highest good. I cannot, like a low, mean criminal who may have robbed me and threatened my life, I cannot, like a false, lying, slanderous fellow who perhaps has vilified me again and again, but I can, by the grace of Jesus Christ, love them all. See what is wrong with them, desire and work to do them only good, most of all to free them from their vicious ways." End quote. To love those that are ungodly never means to condone their lifestyles. Love's dilemma should not be who to love, because according to God's standard, especially as Christians, we are to love everyone. Our duty is only how to love most helpfully. That is, to love not just in feelings, but in service. Those who refuse to trust in God are his enemies, but God is not their enemy. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. "For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" In similar fashion, we are not to be enemies of those who may be enemies to us. From their perspective, we are their enemies, but from our perspective, they should be our neighbors and mission field, that they may be reconciled to God. In whatever relationships we have with others, Christ teaches us to love all others prayerfully. Christ's emphasis here is in our personal relationships, not governmental responsibilities. Praying for them helps us to have the grace to love, even sacrificially. Talking to God about others can help knit the petitioner's heart with the heart of God. Chrysostom, an early church leader, taught that prayer is the very highest summit of self-control, and that we have most brought our lives into conformity to God's standards when we can pray. Yes, pray even for our persecutors. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who was eventually killed by the Nazis, wrote of Jesus' teaching regarding love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that this is the supreme demand, that through the medium of prayer we go to our enemy, stand by his side, and plead for him to God. Then Jesus, who is deity in bodily form, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, put an exclamation mark, raising the bar to the utmost, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This sums up what all God's moral law demands. Consider James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. Yes, to sinful mankind, this standard is impossible to keep. That is, that every single thought, word, or action that we have from our first breath to our dying breath must be righteous according to God's standard is unattainable. Yet again, an absolutely holy God cannot lower his moral righteous standard without compromising his own moral perfection. God, who is perfect, cannot be expected to set an imperfect standard of righteousness. We should understand that God's great purpose of mankind's salvation and glorification, the goal of the gospel, is that humans become like him in righteousness. This indeed is not only a hard teaching of Jesus, it is utterly unattainable by mankind. How can Jesus Christ even suggest that human beings be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect? Which, of course, is absolute, utter perfection, as God the Father is perfect. Jesus later, in similar principle, Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, gave the only answer to this hard teaching. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26 says in part, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." We should understand that what God demands of us, he also provides the power to accomplish. Man's own righteousness is, of course, possible, but it doesn't meet God's standard. It is so imperfect that it is worthless to an absolutely holy, holy, holy God. So how can Jesus state be perfect? Answer, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin, or to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A Bible scholar writes, quote, "Here, Paul summarizes the heart of the gospel, resolving the mystery and paradox that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, end of quote. That is, that Jesus Christ became our substitute on the cross and exhausted all the righteous wrath of God in our place for our sin. He could do this because he became one of us, a human being, flesh and blood, and he alone kept God's perfect, righteous standard without ever sinning in any thought, word, or deed. He was sinless and is sinless. How does this work exactly? Answer: Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We should understand that an amazing, awesome reality takes place for genuine believers. Christ bore their sins that they could bear Christ's righteousness. God treated His Son as if He committed believers' sins. He treats believers as if they did only the righteous deeds of the sinless Son of God. That is how much God loves us, and yet can still remain a perfectly just and perfectly righteous God. Therefore, to be perfect, you must first receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord through obedient faith. That accomplishes our positional righteousness, as Christ's righteousness is credited, imputed to us, which is in our salvation. However, we must also strive for the experiential righteousness of Christ, developed in the Christian by the process of sanctification through the work of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Our moral imperfection in this life looks forward to our experiential righteousness matching our positional righteousness for totally fulfilled perfection at our glorification. Then ultimately we shall be like Him, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, when Christ appears for us. So, dear listener, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Have you been baptized into Him? You must, if He is Lord. Make Jesus Christ Lord today, for today can be your day of salvation.
Amen.
We can only be made perfect through the salvation that's found in Jesus. If you've not yet made a decision to follow Jesus, please understand that you must first believe truly in Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Son of God. God's Word shows us that people who believe are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in making a decision for Jesus, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please request CD number 2222. That's 2222. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing the